All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we're diving headfirst into a real landmark Supreme Court case. We're talking Boy Scouts of America v. Dale.
Oh, yeah, this one is a doozy.
It really is. This case throws the First Amendment right into the spotlight, you know, specifically that right to expressive association.
Right.
And how it can clash, sometimes head-on, with those anti-discrimination laws.
It's a classic legal battle, isn't it? You've got those individual rights versus the rights of an organization to, like, define its own message,
right,
who can be a member and all that.
And this case really boils down to a pretty simple question. Can the Boy Scouts kick someone out just because they're gay?
That is the question at the heart of it, yeah.
Yeah.
The case centers around this guy, James Dale, and he was an Eagle Scout assistant scoutmaster.
Like the ideal Boy Scout.
Exactly. It seems like it, right?
You'd think so.
But there's a twist. Dale came out as gay while he was a student at Rutgers.
And that's when things went south.
That's when things took a turn, yeah.
Yeah, the Boy Scouts, they revoked his membership, saying,
yeah,
hey, this whole homosexuality thing, it contradicts your core values.
Basically, yeah. They were arguing that their whole organization was built on these, you know, specific moral and ethical principles.
Right.
And that being gay just didn't fit with that.
So, of course, Dale fought back. He took the Boy Scouts to court.
Yeah.
And guess what? The New Jersey courts sided with Dale.
They did.
Ruled that the Boy Scouts violated state anti-discrimination laws. Victory for Dale, right?
Well, hold your horses.
No, because so fast.
The case, it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Oh, boy.
And in a really tight 5-4 decision, they actually reversed that ruling.
Whoa, 5-4, that's cutting it close.
Yeah.
So what was their reasoning for such a dramatic reversal?
So the majority opinion really focused on this concept of expressive association.
Okay.
Basically, it says that groups that are focused on advocating specific viewpoints, they have the right to choose members who, you know, line up with their message.
Gotcha.
And the court said that forcing them to include someone who, like, directly contradicts their beliefs, well, that would basically burden their right to free speech.
Hold on. So even though the Boy Scouts are a private organization, the court's basically saying they can discriminate.
Well, yeah.
Based on sexual orientation. And it's all protected under free speech. Isn't that a bit contradictory?
Yeah, it definitely sparked a ton of debate. The court basically said, look, we're not in the business of second-guessing an organization's beliefs, right?
Okay.
They really gave a lot of weight to the Boy Scouts' own interpretation of what would or wouldn't hurt their message.
So it sounds like organizations could just define their message in a way that lets them discriminate, right?
Well, it's not a totally free-for-all. To actually claim this expressive association protection, they've got to meet a specific test.
Okay. Okay, lay it on me. What's the test?
It's got three parts.
All right.
First, the group has to actually be engaged in what they call expressive activity. So they're promoting a specific viewpoint, right?
Gotcha.
Second, forcing them to include a member has to actually burden their ability to, like, express that message.
Okay, so there has to be a real impact.
Right.
Can't just be hypothetical.
And then third, this stance can't be something they just made up, you know, on the spot. It has to be a clear and consistent position that they've, you know, actually held.
I see. So there are some rules, some ground rules. But I still can't shake this feeling that it's all a bit slippery. Like, couldn't this just be used to justify all kinds of discrimination, hiding behind free speech?
Yeah, you're hitting on a major point of contention there. The dissenting justices, they were very worried about this exact issue.
Yeah.
They argued that this whole decision could open the floodgates for all sorts of discrimination disguised as free speech.
I can see why they'd be concerned about that. Were any of their specific arguments, like, particularly strong?
Oh, absolutely. Justice Stevens, he made a really powerful point. He said, look, the Boy Scouts didn't even have a written anti-gay policy. Before Dale's case even came along, they basically created one after the fact to justify what they did.
Oh, wow.
So he was basically saying, hey, we got to be careful about letting prejudice turn into a legal principle.
Yeah, that's a powerful point. Really raises questions about their motives there.
Yeah, and Justice Souter, he also chimed in and said, look, for an organization to claim protection under this expressive association thing, their viewpoint has to be crystal clear.
Okay.
No ambiguity, no room for interpretation.
So a high standard then, to prevent groups from just changing their stance.
Right.
To exclude certain people.
Exactly.
So Boy Scout v. Dale, it really throws us right into this legal and ethical quagmire. I mean, where do we draw the line between protecting that freedom of association,
right,
and preventing discrimination?
Yeah.
The court, their decision really leaned hard into that free speech side of things.
They did.
Even though it potentially opened the door to these discriminatory practices.
Yeah, and that's the big question that this case raises, right? It's this balancing act. How do we protect freedom of association,
yeah,
while also ensuring that we're protecting individuals from discrimination? And that's something that we're still grappling with today.
It is, and it goes way beyond just the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a question for all sorts of organizations and groups. And it's something that we need to keep talking about and keep thinking about.
Absolutely. So this whole idea of expressive association, did it like pop up in any other cases?
It did, actually. This case, it's got a lot in common with another big Supreme Court decision, Roberts v. United States Jaycees. This is back in 1984.
Okay.
And it involved the Jaycees, which was a men's civic organization. And they were arguing that allowing women to join would actually violate their First Amendment rights.
Interesting. So it sounds like the court had to grapple with those same questions about balancing freedom of association and preventing discrimination again.
Exactly. Same fundamental questions, different context.
So what happened in that case?
Well, in that case, the court actually ruled against the Jaycees.
Oh, so they went the other way.
Yeah, they said those anti-discrimination laws, they were more important than the organization's claim of expressive association. And they made this distinction between, like, the Jaycees and groups like the Boy Scouts.
So what was the difference? Because they're both organizations that are trying to exclude members based on certain characteristics.
Right. But the key difference was what those organizations actually did. So the court, they looked at the Jaycees and said, well, you guys are mostly focused on like community service and networking. You're not really advocating a specific viewpoint. So their claim of expressive association was weaker.
So it's not enough just to be a group.
Right.
The court's really looking at whether their activities are about promoting a specific set of belief.
Exactly. That's the key. And that was the big difference that made the court say, you know, in this case, anti-discrimination laws are more important.
Man, this is getting more and more complicated. It seems like there's a lot of gray area here.
Yeah, there is.
What kind of impact did the Boy Scouts v. Dale decision have on other organizations?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but it definitely set a precedent. You know, organizations could try to use this ruling to justify discrimination.
Yeah.
They could say, hey, our actions are protected by the First Amendment, just like the Boy Scouts. But the problem is that expressive association test,
right,
especially like how clear and consistent an organization's stance has to be, well, that left a lot open to interpretation.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, if the bar is set too low, it seems like any group could just say, oh, this is just free speech, even if their policies are discriminatory.
That's the worry. And that's something that worries a lot of legal scholars and advocates for equality and civil rights.
Makes sense.
They're concerned that this Dale decision could be used as a field to justify all sorts of exclusionary practices.
So what about James Dale himself? After the Supreme Court ruling, I mean, did he just have to accept being kicked out of the Boy Scouts?
Well, not necessarily. Here's where things get a little more complicated. Remember, the Supreme Court, they were only looking at whether New Jersey's public accommodations law could be applied to the Boy Scouts.
Right.
They didn't say other states couldn't have similar laws.
Ah, so the fight wasn't actually over?
Not quite. In fact, the Dale decision, it kind of set off this wave of legal and legislative battles all over the country.
Really?
Some states, they passed laws specifically banning discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Okay.
While others, they actually supported the Boy Scouts' right to exclude gay members. So it really became this state-by-state issue.
Wow. So this case had this ripple effect across the nation. It's not just about Dale and the Boy Scouts anymore.
Not at all. And, you know, it's important to remember this was back in 2000.
Right.
Society's views on LGBTQ plus rights have come a long way since then.
Oh, yeah. Things have changed drastically.
And in fact, the Boy Scouts of America themselves, they actually reversed their policy in 2015.
What?
They started allowing openly gay youth to participate. And then in 2017, they lifted the ban on gay adults serving as leaders.
That's a huge turnaround. I mean, they basically embraced the very thing that the Supreme Court said they could reject just 15 years earlier.
Yeah, it is.
So what led to that shift?
Well, it's a really interesting example of how, like, societal values can influence an institutional change. You know, the legal landscape was changing. The Boy Scouts' own membership was changing. Public opinion was changing.
Right, right.
All of these things played a role in their decision to reverse their policy. They had to adapt or they risked becoming irrelevant.
This whole deep dive has been like a roller coaster ride. We've gone from this local dispute to the highest court in the land and back to the organization itself doing a complete 180.
It really shows how complex these issues are.
It does. It does. And it all comes back to that fundamental question. How do we balance an organization's right to express their beliefs?
Right.
With the need to protect individuals from discrimination.
Yeah, and it's a question that society is still grappling with, and it goes way beyond just the Boy Scouts.
It does. This case really shows that legal precedent doesn't exist in a vacuum.
It doesn't.
It's constantly being reinterpreted and reshaped as our social norms and values evolve.
Yeah, Boy Scouts v. Dale, it serves as a powerful reminder that legal battles are often just one part of a much larger cultural shift. It's a great example of how the law can both reflect and shape society's values, often in ways that we might not expect.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah, it really makes you think about the power of, like, social movements and how they can impact even these, like, really entrenched institutions.
You're right. Boy Scouts UDale is a perfect example of how legal victories, you know, they don't always lead to immediate social change. Sometimes it takes ongoing activism, those changing cultural attitudes, even pressure from within, you know, to bring about real transformation.
This whole conversation has been eye-opening, really. We've talked about the First Amendment, anti-discrimination laws, the role of the courts, the evolution of social values, all through this one case. It's kind of amazing how a single Supreme Court decision can have these, like, really far-reaching consequences.
It really does show how interconnected law, society, and even individual lives are. Boy Scouts v. Dale, it shows how legal precedent, it can be both a reflection of and a catalyst for these, you know, broader social changes.
You know, after going deep into this case, I'm left with a big question. If a case like this came before the Supreme Court today, with how much views on LGBTQ plus rights have changed, do you think the outcome would be different?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's tough to say for sure how the current court would rule, but the legal landscape has definitely shifted since 2000. I mean, we've seen this growing recognition of LGBTQ plus rights, and several Supreme Court decisions have actually affirmed those rights in, you know, other contexts.
So there's a chance they might take a different approach now.
It's definitely possible, but those arguments around expressive association, that First Amendment stuff, they haven't gone away. It would still be a really complicated case. No easy answers.
Well, one thing's for sure, Boy Scouts v. Dale, it's a powerful reminder that the fight for equality is far from over.
Yes.
And the law, it's both a tool and a battleground in that fight.
Well said. It just highlights how important it is to stay informed, stay engaged, and, you know, be ready to challenge any attempts to use the law to justify discrimination.
Couldn't agree more. Well, this deep dive has given us all a lot to think about. To our listeners, we encourage you to keep digging into this issue. Research those arguments, read the opinions, and form your own conclusions. This is a conversation that needs to keep going, and every voice matters.
And remember, the law, it never stands still. What was settled yesterday, well, it might be challenged tomorrow. So stay curious, stay informed, and never stop questioning the world around you.
And on that note, it's time to wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.